Welcome to Knowing God in the Word, brought to you by the Word of Truth Ministry, publishers of Seed and Bread. I'm your host, Bob Juno, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. This radio program is for the purpose of helping listeners fulfill the greatest need we have as believers, to know God. Today, Nathan will continue his teaching series on the flow of truth with Sent to the Gentiles. And now, Bible teacher Nathan Johnson.
Thanks, Bob. We have been studying the flow of truth and how it can teach us about God's work with us today and how it differs from his work with others in the past and in the future. And we have been discussing the very important verse of Acts 28:28. It's been my personal conviction for 35 years that this passage is an important dividing line in God's work. I believe it is the last dividing line separating his works in the past from his current work today. Therefore, it becomes very critical that we understand Acts 28:28. And that understanding depends on understanding what is actually said in this verse. And only when we understand what it says can we understand what it means and why it's important and why it makes a critical difference in God's current works. Now, the understanding of this verse hinges around four important words: the words salvation, sent, Gentiles, and here. Now, these four words might be, as some would call them, easy words in English. But to understand what the Spirit meant by them when he used them in this verse, we need to study them not in English, but in Greek. Now, last time we studied the word salvation, and we discussed the fact that in Greek this is an adjective, soterion, and that it means salvation bringing. And in the context, it refers to the salvation bringing message of God. Or you could say the salvation bringing word of God, or utterance of God, or declaration, or gospel. This is the subject of the sentence in Acts 28:28. Something was done with the salvation bringing message of God. But the next question is what? And that brings us to the verb. So Acts 28:28, therefore let it be known to you that the salvation-bringing message of God has been sent to the Gentiles and they will hear it. So this brings us to the word sent. That's the verb. And that word describes the action. Now sent is a translation of the Greek word apostello. And you would spell that A-P-O-S-T-E-L-L-O. And you could put a mark, a line, over that O to show that that is the long O, the omega, the big O, not the omicron, the small O in Greek. Like the first O in that word is, it's the omicron. But what does the word apostello mean? So that's the important question. Not what does sent mean, but what does apostello mean? Now, even those who know nothing about New Testament Greek will probably have the feeling that apostello is familiar. And they are right by that. For this verb, apostello, from it comes the adjective apostolos, which is often used as a substantive in the New Testament, that is used as if it were a noun, and it's translated in our versions, or really carried over from the Greek alphabet to our alphabet, and left as apostle. So apostello is the verb related to apostolos, or apostle, the noun or the substantive adjective. Now apostello as a verb describes the action that happened to the salvation-bringing message of God. So if we don't understand this verb, we'll never know what it was that took place at Acts 28:28. Now, I believe that this is maybe the most important word of all for understanding Acts 28:28. And in understanding the 33 unique years that the book of Acts gives the history of, there is no more important word to understand it than the word apostello. if the word apostello is misunderstood and not understood and not applied to the book of Acts, well, everything that took place in the Acts period will be thrown out of line, and everything we read in the book of Acts will be thrown off. Now, as important as the word apostello is, apostello has been stultified in our English versions of the New Testament by weak, inadequate translations. And much truth has been lost as a result of this unfortunate, weak, inadequate translating. Now, to illustrate the importance of apostello and the important truths that are expressed by it, I have collected 9 passages that use this word. And to show you how important this word is and how important the meaning of it is for understanding New Testament truth. The first passage is Matthew 15 and verse 24, where the Lord Jesus said, "I was not sent," and that's the word apostello, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now you can see how important what the Lord meant by apostello or sent in that verse, how important that is to what the Lord meant. In Luke 4:43, the Lord Jesus Christ said to some who wanted him not to leave their city, "I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent." And sent there is again a translation of the word apostello. In John 1 and verse 6, we read, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John." And that word sent is again apostello. There was a man sent from God, apostello from God, whose name was John. Fourth is Acts 3 and verse 20. "And that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before." That word send there is that he may apostello Jesus Christ. Passage number 5 is Acts 10 and verse 36. "The word which God sent," apostello, "the word which God sent to the children of Israel." The fifth passage is Acts 13 and verse 26. "Men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to you the word of this salvation has been sent." And then again, "has been sent" there is a translation of the Greek word apostello. In Romans 10 and verse 15, and I'll start reading from verse 14 to get the context. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent?" And that is the word apostello, unless they are apostello. Number 8 is 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 17. Paul writes, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel." He says, Christ did not apostello. He did not send me, apostello me, to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And number 9, 1 John 4 and verse 14. John writes, "And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world." And sent there is again apostello. The Father has sent apostello, the Son, to be the Savior. So these 9 passages, and I'll list them for you once more. Matthew 15, 24, Luke 4, 43, John 1, 6, Acts 3, 20, Acts 10, 36, Acts 13, 26, Romans 10, 15, 1 Corinthians 1, 17, and 1 John 4, 14. These 9 passages show that great and important truths are expressed by the Greek word apostello. And seeing this should quicken our minds to seek to understand this word as well as it can be. And this is the sort of thing we have to do if we want to be Bible students and really understand what God meant by what he said in his word. Now, I've listed 9 passages for you, but the verb apostello is found 133 times in the New Testament. And from your Strong's Concordance, we can see that it is translated in the Old King James Version as send 110 times, send forth 15 times, send away 4 times, send out 2 times, put in 1 time, and set 1 time. So you can see that send is used as a translation in all but 2 occurrences of this word. And some will say, aha, that settles it. The word means send. And yet, in spite of the fact that the translators have so often translated it by send, this translation is misleading, weak, and inadequate. It dims the glory of this important word, and it holds down the truth that the Spirit of God is revealing through this word. The fact is that there is another Greek word that means to send. That is the Greek word pempo. And you would spell that P-E-M-P-O. And again, you could put a line over that O, or make it a capital O. That would look strange, of course, to have a capital at the end of a word. But to show that that is the omega, the long O, rather than the omicron. Now, the word pempo is found 81 times in the New Testament. And it's translated send 79 times in the King James Version. And this word pempo expresses the idea of causing someone to go in any manner. Now, some of you husbands out there, it could be that your wife sends you to the grocery store or sends you to the post office. Now, if in ancient Greek we're going to talk about your wife sending you like that, he would use the word pempo for such an act. But an ancient Greek would never use the word apostello for that same act, since that word would be far too strong for a wife sending her husband to the grocery store. This Greek word pempo has to do with a physical sending or causing to go. And any ideas beyond this would have to come from the context and not from the word pempo. But apostello means more than this. Now, the inadequacy of the translators that were the King James Version or so many other versions, their treatment of this word apostello is seen in the fact that the substantivized adjective apostle bears no relationship to this verb from which it is derived the way they've translated it. For example, if I said in 2 sentences, that is wood and that object is wooden, that is W-O-O-D-E-N. Well, you could immediately see that the word wood and the word wooden go together. The same thing if I mention the words do and doer and doing. Of course, those all go together. If I mention the words play and player and playing. If I mention the words give and giver and giving. Why, you can immediately see how all those words are in the same family and they go together, the relationship, the intimate relationship between those words. But who in the world in English can see that the words send and apostle go together? Do you look at the word send and immediately think apostle, it's in the same family? No. So the intimate relationship between these two words is obscured, and it should never be obscured. And any rendering that a translator makes of apostello and apostolos that obscures and hides this intimate relationship between these two words is misleading and inadequate. Now, in the King James Version of John 13 and verse 16, apostolos, the substantivized adjective, is translated, he that is sent. And in that one case, the translators maintain the connection between these two words. But in spite of the fact that it maintains the connection, the fact is that apostello and apostolos mean far more than sent or a sent one. Now, when the lexicons define this word, many of them follow the example set by the King James Version. And sadly, lexicons often will define a Greek word simply by how it has been translated traditionally, and not by a real examination of its meaning in the Greek of the New Testament. Some of the lexicons will define epistello as meaning to send forth or to send away from while the sender remains behind. However, there are some lexicographers who will abandon this superficial definition because they realize that those who are the recipients of this action are not always sent from one place to another, and the sender does not always remain behind. Now understand, how are the meanings of words determined? Well, the meaning of any word in any language depends on the use that is made of it. And if you take any word and examine its use in a dozen clear, expressive sentences, you can establish the meaning of that word. And with 133 sentences in the New Testament for us to examine the word apostello, and 81 times in the New Testament for us to examine the word apostolos, we can determine the meaning of these words very clearly. Now, some people think to discover the meaning of a word, you just go to a dictionary. Dictionaries define words. But in reality, that's not the case. Dictionaries don't define words. They don't make up meanings for words. Dictionaries, good ones, merely record the usage of words as they are employed by careful writers. And that's all a true dictionary can do. Now, if we wish to define apostello, we will do it through the usage of this word by the inspired writers of the New Testament, inspired by God. Now, if we do that, we will find that apostello means to commission, in the sense of authorizing and instructing one to perform a definite duty. And the idea of authorizing is always basic in its meaning. Now, the commission spoken of could be a very simple one. It could involve a very small task, very quickly and easily done. Or the commission could be very complex, involving great service and heavy responsibilities. Nevertheless, apostello always means to commission, to authorize, to instruct, to perform a definite duty. Now, it's said that in our government in the United States, the notary public is the lowest office that one can have in our government. Yet, though it is a very lowly office, it is an office. A notary public is commissioned, he's authorized, to make acknowledgments of legal papers, which he does under the seal of his office, usually adding a note that his commission expires on a certain date to show that his commission is an active one. Now, if the Greeks were describing this office of a notary public, they would use the verb apostello to describe the act of a governor to authorize someone to be a notary public. It's the governor who authorizes someone as a notary public. The Greeks would describe him doing that as apostello. And they would describe apostolos, they would use apostolos to describe the result, which is a commissioned one. Now, the word apostello never has to do with the appointment of anyone to an office. Apostello always has to do with a service to be performed by the one commissioned. Thus, the definition of apostello would be to commission with authority, with instruction to perform the service that one is commissioned to do. And that would be my definition of apostello, to commission with authority, with instruction to perform the service that one is commissioned to do. But wait a moment. This definition applies only when it is used in connection with men or angels or beings as such. When apostello is used in connection instead with animals or with inanimate things, it takes on a more limited meaning. Now, its exact meaning is controlled by its context. But when it's used in connection with animals or inanimate things, it means to authorize in the sense of making freely available. Now, we can understand this twofold usage of apostello in an important passage in Matthew chapter 21 and verses 1 through 3. Where we read, "Now when they," that is the Lord and his disciples, "drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, that is, he apostello, two disciples. He commissioned them with authority to perform a service, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them," that is, he will authorize them. Now we could say that this was a very simple commission that the Lord gave these two disciples, a small thing he sent them to do. In the first occurrence, it is used of men to commission. But in the second, he says, well, straightway he will authorize them. It's used of animals. He'll make them available to you. Now, Matthew doesn't say so, but both Mark and Luke tell us that this did happen. They did ask, why are you taking the animal? They said, the Lord has need of him, and so they authorized it. So we must conclude that the owner must have been a good friend of the Lord Jesus, and he had offered his animals to him for his use. So to grant or to allow by proper authority is the meaning of apostello when it's used of animals or inanimate objects. This usage is found 9 times in the New Testament. First off, in Matthew 21 and verse 3, straightway he will authorize them. Then Mark 4, verse 29, speaking of the farmer, immediately he authorizes the sickle. Mark 11 and verse 3, straightway he will authorize it. John 9 and verse 7, speaking of a pool, which is by interpretation authorized, not sent, but authorized. Acts 10 and verse 36, the word he authorizes to the sons of Israel. Acts 11 and verse 30, authorizing it to the elders. Acts 13 and verse 26, to us was the word of this salvation authorized. Acts 28:28, is authorized to the Gentiles. Revelation 1 and verse 1, he authorized and signified it. Now, a third meaning of apostello, which is a derived meaning, is to dismiss, or to send away, or to banish. And it's always used of an authoritative dismissal or banishment. Now, we'd find this meaning 5 times in the New Testament. I'll list those. Mark 5 and verse 10, Mark 12 and verse 3, Mark 12 and verse 4, Mark 12 and verse 6, and John 18 and verse 24. So to summarize, commission, authorization, and direction are the ideas inherent in this word apostello when applied to men, angels, or even Jesus Christ. The idea of authorization becomes paramount when used of animals or inanimate objects. It needs to be remembered that no one can commission or authorize anything unless that one or that thing is at his disposal. This word expresses a commission that can only be personally discharged, so it of necessity involves responsibility. The one commissioned is always the representative of the one who commissions him. As such, he exercises his right. Apostolos should never be hardened into an office to which men are appointed. This word denotes a commission or authorization that is limited in time and is concerned only with the business at hand, not with a person discharging it. A personal commission is the sole ground of being a commissioned one, that is, an apostle. None of those who were commissioned by Jesus Christ ever felt that they had attained to some office of an indelible character, that is, that can't be erased. Now, circling back to Acts 28:28, since Paul in Acts 28:28 is speaking of an inanimate thing, or in this case, an abstract thing, a salvation-bringing message of God, from our studies, we should know by now that apostello means to authorize, that is, it made available without restrictions. The exact form in Acts 28:28 is apostole. It's the third person, singular, aorist, passive. And this describes the action, telling us what was done. If we fail to understand this word, we'll never know what Paul announced had taken place. So Paul said, "Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation-bringing message of God is authorized, that is, made freely available." Well, that raises the question, on to whom? And we'll consider that in our next message. So in concluding, I believe Acts 28:28 to be a crucial turning point in the history of God's dealings with Adam's race. To understand what happened at that point, we must understand what is said in this important announcement. Something happened to God's salvation-bringing message at that time. It was authorized or made freely available. Next time, we'll consider to whom and the result and how and why that was a change.
The importance of understanding the Greek word apostello cannot be overstated. Understanding this important word will unlock the meaning of many passages in Scripture. None more important than that of Acts 28:28. Thank you, Nathan, for your lesson on Sent to the Gentiles. On our next program, Nathan will continue his teach series on the flow of truth with The Gentiles Will Hear. Thank you for joining us today. Our hope is that the more you study God's Word, the more you know and love God. For more information on the program, to hear past programs, and for other downloadable material that Nathan has produced, please visit our website at knowinggodintheword.org. This program has been brought to you by the Word of Truth Ministry. Please visit seedandbread.org. I've been your host, Bob Juneau, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. We'll say so long for now, but we look forward to you joining us next week on Knowing God in the Word.